Greetings, listeners. This is the Documentary WoW podcast. I am Patrick Michael, and today's episode, we're simply going to kind of just run around the court, if you will, and we're going to talk about the Michael Jordan documentary series, the 10-parter on ESPN. Wow. And we're going to talk about this simply because its relation to my life and Michael Jordan as the star athlete that he is. Now, it was a great watch. Truly, truly great documentary series. But you hear all these things like Michael Jordan was in charge of most of the things that were happening, most of the things that were talked about, most of the people that were involved in it. And that makes for a different perspective on watching the film. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, that makes it bad or takes anything away from it, but it does say that it could have been a biased or one side, depending on what it was. And one of the main things that they certainly talked about when it came to Michael Jordan is, as he was rising to his fame, and then when he was basking in the fame, he certainly wasn't going out of the way to help the community, or to be a voice of people at all. And then, after the documentary comes out, this year, 2020, he finally decides to say some things. And I feel like a lot of people probably looked at that a little weird. I noticed it, and it certainly is strange. But the documentary series, like I said, it was very entertaining. It's so interesting to see these characters that you've only seen play basketball. You rarely have seen them speak, okay? And speak to the degree of their career. And Michael Jordan is certainly one of the... Like, I remember growing up, and most of the video games that were based from the NBA, NBA Jam, you know, the NBA Lives. And guess what? No Michael Jordan, even when he was on the Bulls. And I thought that was super weird. I thought that was bizarre. And I'll tell you what, I purposely bought like, I think it was like 2K12 or some shit like that. One of the more recent 2Ks, not super recent, but more recent for the newer systems, it was purely based on Michael Jordan. Like, there was 12 different versions of Michael Jordan, and it totally made that game worth buying. Because all of us that grew up playing games on whatever system, and if you played any sports games, you certainly wanted to play with Michael Jordan. But it was so... Because I think the whole thing was, is he wanted to make his own games. He didn't want to do NBA Live. He didn't want to do 2K. He wanted to do Michael Jordan's Playground or something like this, I'm sure. Because he was a face. And what's so great about him, and it's so weird that this happens, but guys like Tom Brady, right? Where it's like he's handsome, but he's also very athletic. He's a star athlete. It's like, how come the guy who is also very, very good at what he does isn't just average looking? It's like Michael Jordan had a smile. He had charisma. He had a way of speaking to people and being a leader. It's crazy. But here's my biggest thing with the documentary that kind of bothered me is they already did an entire 30 for 30 on Dennis Rodman, and then there was basically an entire episode of Michael Jordan's documentary featuring the story of Dennis Rodman. They're like, hey man, we get it. He had purple hair. Let's move past it. And I'll say this. It's so crazy when you go back to the mid-90s, late 80s, where they were just scooping up any crazy good athlete. It didn't matter if you really went to college. It didn't matter if you played at a real high school against good opponents. If you were 6'9 and you could jump out of the gym, good chance you could have got a fucking NBA contract. And that's what makes me wonder. If I was a tall dude, like super tall guy, believe me when I say I would be super disappointed in myself if I didn't at least try to play basketball, because it's a waste of height. If you're 6'9" and you work at Kroger, we'll go, you're doing it wrong, guy. You missed something. It's a waste of height. I mean, you could possibly be even like a wide receiver or something, but you gotta go for it. That height is an advantage in most sports. I don't think there's very many sports where there's a low ceiling. A lot of sports consist of jumping. So being tall is an advantage, but maybe not so much in football. But also they had you know, they may not have done a 30 for 30 on Scottie Pippen, but he certainly was one of those, just like Dennis Rodman, that pretty much had his entire episode. He had his own episode, which, I mean, fine. People want to know. They want the that depth of Scottie. But if you got 10 episodes, you got 10 episodes, and everyone's expecting it to be Michael Jordan, shouldn't it only be Michael Jordan? Like, why can't he... Why can't they come up with 10 hours of content about just him? They don't have... Right? I mean, I don't know. Outside of that, very good watch. A very good watch. And is one of the few times in the recent years where I've actually had to wait each week for the new episodes. Like most of us, you know? They drop 2 episodes a time, and that's great. But you were like, dude, why, you know, if this is associated with Netflix, well, what's the deal with releasing it in small parts? You know, release all 10 and let people binge watch it, and then better chance of more people talking about it. But this next part, I'm just going to simply talk about my relation and investment in Michael Jordan as an athlete growing up. Now, when I was growing up, I was a huge, huge basketball fan. Loved it. Fully invested in playing myself. Actually being a basketball player. But, of course, I went to a school that had a really good team when I was in high school, so I couldn't make it. That or I was that shitty, you know? But I don't think that's the case because, it, like anybody who does something for 6 years, day and night, any weather, there's a good chance you're going to be pretty damn decent at it, I would say. But yeah, the position that I was vying for when it came to trying out was a point guard because I'm a shorter guy, but the kid who played point guard, who was I was ultimately competing with, ended up going to New Mexico State, and they ended up in the Sweet 16 that year. But anyways, once we graduated, point is, Michael Jordan wasn't, like, he wasn't in my viewpoint when I got into basketball. Like, everybody knew about him. You knew his clothes. You knew the Hanes commercials. You knew Space Jam. All these things about Michael Jordan were very obvious. But I came into basketball just as he was getting out. As soon as he's getting out of basketball, I start getting invested in it. So who did I fall to? Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, Vince Carter, Allen Iverson, Shaquille O'Neal, Latrell Sprewell, Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, right? Just Reggie Miller, you know, just these ultra stars playing for great teams, everybody competing, and you only hear of the myth that was Michael Jordan and what he did, and people comparing other players to Jordan. I mean, I was into basketball during the Ben Wallace Afro era, you know, where he was just that paint defender. You're not scoring on Big Ben, right? Detroit, almost coming back to the bad boy era. But I'll tell you this, I was around when Jordan came back in the 45 jersey playing for the Washington Wizards. But did I ever really see anything? Did I watch games to see Jordan compete with these guys? Certainly. But can I tell you what happened in those games? No. I'll tell you what I do remember is, I believe it was an ESPN magazine or Sports Illustrated cover or article. Either way, there was a photo taken where you see the back of Michael Jordan and he's dribbling a basketball. You see his back. Or maybe it's his front. Either way, what it is Michael Jordan is basically just dribbling a ball, and all of the stars that are currently in the NBA when he comes back are, like, surrounding him. It was fucking badass. Easily one of my favorite photos, because you're like, oh, shit. They're basically saying, okay, Jordan's coming back as the greatest of all time, but he's coming back against these players that he's never once played against, and they could only be stronger opponents because the game is different now. And sure, he did come in and do okay for the Wizards, but when it comes to this documentary, that is one of the things that I think a lot of people really wanted to know about. I mean, of course, his dad getting murdered and just his journey through the NBA was important, but the fact that they never even reach where he comes back, they don't... What? because they only talked about the baseball stuff for a sweet second. And then it's right into more basketball, more Pistons, more Bill Laimbeer interviews. And you're like, come on, man. At some point, you need to tell us what it was like coming back, playing for the Washington Wizards, and going against people like Vince Carter, Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, these guys. Because that's what I'm curious about. There's a whole generation of Michael Jordan fans, like myself, that were looking forward to hearing that part. What was it like coming back and playing with that garbage team known as the Washington Wizards? I think there was one other good player when he came in, and I couldn't even tell you who it was. Antonio McDice? I don't know. All I know is that I'm disappointed in myself for getting into basketball and never really being able to see Michael Jordan play live outside of being, you know, not seeing him in his prime, okay? Not seeing him play for the Bulls as 23 when he's somehow flying. I get to watch him, you know, shoot okay for the Wizards. And I didn't even watch that much because I was a huge Lakers fan at that point, so I was definitely not paying much attention to Washington. And this is like right after they, not too long after they were the Bullets. But my point is I missed that. And I feel like it's no different than somebody who starts playing guitar, but they never knew who Stevie Ray Vaughan is. You know, or Jimi Hendrix. They didn't study it. You didn't get to see him live. And that shit annoys me. I wish, like, just seeing it live is my biggest thing. Wanting to see it live. I don't really care about, like, the ability, going back and watching it, because of course that's an option. Anybody can go back and see these things now. You can see the highlights all over the place. But what's the point? You know, you want to see it live. You want to experience it live, because that's the whole thing. Win, lose, or draw, seeing it live is so different than just seeing it on a tape, on a replay. It's no fun, because you don't feel like you're a part of it then. Where you could say, you know, I wasn't there, but I got to see it. I got to see Jordan, you know, do that crazy winning shot against Christian Laettner or something, right? Or him and Reggie Miller battling. Ugh, that's the stuff that I would really, that I miss, that I wish I would have been able to see. To know that one of my favorite players of all time was really giving it to Jordan, was putting it on him. And I didn't get to see it. Ugh, excruciatingly devastating. Because you also have to think about Reggie Miller when he was coming up. You know, he was competing with the idea of his sister being a better basketball player than himself. And then he's going against guys like Jordan. I mean, wait, maybe Rip Hamilton was on the Wizards with Jordan. Because even having them interview him in the documentary, to be like, oh yeah, I played with Jordan when he came back, years later. Fascinating. Because if you look at the big three, which is the Ice Cube, whatever fucking little basketball thing, basketball league, you see these old players that can still do it. Yeah, maybe it might be half court, but certainly they could do full court if they were paid to do it, and they had to stay in shape to do it. You could see some of these, like, playing basketball could go on for a long time. You could play well into your 50s. You know, I could imagine guys like LeBron James playing into his 50s. Why not? What's going to stop him other than himself? Right? Brett Favre did it in a much more physical sport. Yeah, he wasn't 65. He wasn't 58. But he was certainly up there in a highly contacted sport. So even if LeBron James is coming off the bench, dude, like a Dirk Nowitzki, like, who was the other guy that stayed in for a long time coming off the bench? Ah, there was another one. Chris Webber. Shaquille O'Neal. Because as long as you're still productive, you're still putting points up, still defending, they'll keep you and they'll pay you. But here I am talking about sports that we're currently not even seeing right now. But, you know, to circle back in general about Jordan, you can't deny greatness. And there was probably a lot of young people that got to watch that and experience it. And they'll take it and use it and have that drive. Never giving up. Making people around you better. Proving that you are the greatest. It's no different than Mike Tyson in a lot of ways. Where you're like, okay, if I want to be the best, that's the guy that should be telling me how to do so. He has the experience. He has the knowledge. Right? Instead of just going and talking to somebody like, you know, Sugar Ray or whatever. It doesn't matter. Input any name. You want to know from the best. And the person that has experienced it. Not somebody that's had an up and down career. Barely memorable or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's very strange. But you get 10 hours of Michael Jordan ultimately talking into a camera from his $1 million home. And as you're watching it, you're just watching this dude just sit there in his house, and you're like, God, you know, that's a very, very small portion of that place. Very small portion, and it looks gigantic. Like, dude, what is it like to have that much space? Like, I get so annoyed with, like, you know, two bedrooms, two bathrooms. Like, okay, that's a lot of cleaning. One bad day, and this whole house is gross, you know? Rather than, oh, I have 9,000 square feet and an extra house? Dude, you have to know I'm not cleaning. And that's got to be one of the annoying things, too, for the famous people that are on lockdown. Like, dude, don't make a video of you being inside your giant mansion, because in no way are you killing time to get through this quarantine the same way everybody else is. You know, there's no rich, famous people living in their 9,000 square foot house cleaning. They're not organizing. Okay? It's just not happening. They're not cutting their own hair. My point is, would you clean then? Like, if lockdown came, because how are you going to get your cleaning lady in anyways? For not, you know, social distancing, unless she lives there. My whole point is like, oh yeah, I would love to go in a giant house like Michael Jordan and record in a small corner of it and pretend like it's not massive. But hell, if you were somebody like, if you had the wealth of a Jordan, of a, you know, Oprah, of David Letterman even, just these people that you know have virtually unlimited wealth. Dude, I'd buy houses in the most random places. I'd have giant houses built in the smallest towns. It's going to stand out that much more. I'm not going to move to Van Nuys, right? I'm not going to move to Greenwich Village, okay? We're going in. We're going to fucking, you know, Fowler, Indiana, all right? We're going somewhere where you know for a fact your house is probably going to be one of the tallest things in that town or city. And it's a house. People are going to drive by it like, is that a house? Do people live there? Is that a house or is that a church? Because that thing is giant. Like, nah, this is where I live. This is my home. And then people are going to be like, oh, where are you at? Like, this is some, you say some name and they're like, I have never heard of that ever. Like, you're a multimillionaire, billionaire even, living in some random place in Idaho. In Pennsylvania. Just random places, dude. Wyoming. You would blow people's minds. I always thought that would be a great thing, too. Especially, like, in your hometown. Just build a ridiculous house, but never be seen there. And put it right in the middle of your town, so that way all the people that talk shit and thought that you weren't going to do anything when you were growing up, they would have to drive by and see it every day. That would bring so much joy. Joy to the level of how much Michael Jordan probably didn't even want to do this documentary. You think? You think he actually wanted to do this? Something tells me he wasn't very invested. And it took a lot of convincing. But as you watch the 30 for 30s and you hear all these stories, you're like, damn, why hasn't anybody talked to Mike? Why haven't they got him on the mic? Why haven't they put Mike on the mic? We want to know. And then bang, they hit you with this. And it's great. And honestly, it's good where it came from ESPN. You know, you could trust them. They've already established themselves with the 30 for 30. So then they come out with this and you're like, okay, it's going to be in depth. It's going to be deep. It's going to be personal. And it was. But like I said, the only thing missing from the documentary was talk about Washington. Talk about playing with, Juan Dixon. That's a reference I pulled deep. All right. If you know who Juan Dixon is, you're a basketball fan. If you don't, well, you stumbled into a podcast that was virtually just about sports, at least this episode. But yeah, guys, check it out. Please watch it. It's very, very entertaining. And even if you're not a basketball fan, it is worth watching because you just get to see what it's like to be unbelievably famous. Because, yeah, people know the Beatles. Yeah, people know Lady Gaga. But the world knows Michael Jordan. When you're 60-something years old, I'd imagine, and your shoes that people can buy in the stores are still hundreds of dollars, you might be Michael Jordan. Maybe that'll be a whole line of jokes. Just, if you pee into a gold toilet and get some on the seat, but don't wipe it off yourself, someone else does it for you, you might be Michael Jordan. If you wore suits all through the 90s and early 2000s that clearly didn't fit you but were made by a tailor, you might be Michael Jordan. If you changed your number from 23 to 45 and then didn't play as well and then went back to 23, well, you might be Michael Jordan. That's not even good because that doesn't have anything to do with wealth. Let's try again. If you became an NBA All-Star historical grand guy and you smoked cigars through your entire career, you might be Michael Jordan. Isn't that bizarre? That's bizarre. You're like, oh, I don't inhale. You don't inhale the cigar. Still seems risky, folks. But this is Documentary Wow. I'm Patrick Michael, and if you used a bidet before most people knew what tushy was, you might be Michael Jordan. We'll be right back.